Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. I'd like to consider verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening, how thankful we are for another time to be able to assemble ourselves together. And Lord, thank you that you've raised up the gospel in this place, and you've been pleased to allow the candlestick of light and life to be here these many years. Lord, have mercy. Lord, would you bless your word tonight to the salvation of sinners. We look to you, wait on you, and ask you for mercy. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last time we met, we looked at the first verse of Hebrews 12, and we considered the race that others had run. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews considers the race of faith. And as we looked at the race that they ran, the scriptures encouraged us to lay aside, verse 1, every weight, every number one, every priority that would set itself up as a hindrance to the hearing of the gospel. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That sin that is surrounding. That sin that finds itself adhering to us. That sin of unbelief. And let us run with patience, waiting on the Lord, looking unto Him. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, in the directing of our race, now we the Scripture talks about a believer running a race, fighting a fight, a good fight of faith. This world that we're in, that we're not of, there's a battle that goes on. There's a war within, a war without. But the greatest battle that we fight is inside. Warring, struggling, old nature, new nature, contrary one to the other. And as we run our race, we need some direction. The Word of God is our direction. The Scripture sets forth concerning our race that we are to look to God's Word, considering God's Word, which is profitable, which is advantageous. Profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for teaching concerning our justification before God. How do we know who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, save by God Almighty teaching us? So we consider this race that we run and lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now here is my question for this evening. How? How do we run the race? We're in a race. The Scripture says we're running it. How do we do it? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Considering attentively. The Lord Jesus Christ, the author, the leader, and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we should never, to say we never look to ourselves is not so. We do look to ourselves and we're disappointed. There's the grieving of a believer. If you want to know where to find some grief, look within. I can tell you for a fact, I don't have any security looking to myself. I have none whatsoever. We look to ourselves, and then I remember without Him, I can do nothing. All of the examples that we were given in Hebrews chapter 11, we don't look to others that went before us. Now, I'll tell you this, I'm like this and you are too. There's men that I dearly love. Preachers. I dearly love. I love them for their stand for the gospel of God's grace. I love them for their study of the Scriptures. I love them because of their heart and for God's people, for God's gospel. I love them. But I'll tell you what will happen. Watching them and trying to emulate them, what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to emulate their weaknesses. They'll disappoint me just like I will them. So I can't look to myself. I can't look to others. The eye of faith looks only to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who began and who completed the will of Almighty God perfectly. This is what I know, that I am justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. We look to Him and realize that His faith as the God-man, He walked before God Almighty perfectly. The Scripture sets forth looking unto Jesus. How do we look? Number one, we look unto Him who was the obedient servant of God. Now, you know, I say that so easily. That just flowed just so easily off my tongue. We look unto Him who is the obedient servant of God. But may I, by the grace of God, stop for just a few minutes and muse on that thought. There's one that has obeyed God perfectly. There's one that has stood before God's law and on His own merit, according to His own work, according to His own walk, He served God. He served His Father and the Father of God's people as the federal head and representative of all that God everlastingly loved. And we look unto Him thankfully. Lord, according to Your mercy, according to Your grace, Lord, Your faith has been imputed to me. It is not the way I see myself. It's the way that Almighty God sees His Son and looks upon me in His Son. The hope that I have that Almighty God looks upon Him and sees me in Him and accepts me in Him. The only way that I can know that is by faith. I believe Him. I believe God. By the grace of God, I look to Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Which is to say, He's the author and finisher of our salvation. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Thanks be unto Him that it's not mine that He looks to. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. I'm talking, Gary, of perfect faith. Never wavering faith. I'm talking about a faith that never doubted, never doubted, never one time. That there was no spot, no blemish. There was not anything there that the Father ever saw that was not perfect. Without that faith. Not a wavering faith. Without His faith. It's impossible to please God. God Almighty who will not look upon iniquity. God Almighty who is just, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, charged to us, and then faith to believe that it's His faith by which God Almighty accepts us in the Beloved. Oh, the perfect beginner and finisher of our faith. So when we look to Him, who are we looking to? We're looking unto Jesus, the one who begins and finishes our faith. Second, we look unto Him who endured the cross. I looked at that who endured the cross. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. What confidence the Spirit of God has set before us as we're told of the Lord's joy in the redemption of His people. For the joy that was set before Him. He delighted in the work that was given Him of His Father. He delighted in it. I've got God's Word on that. Psalm 40 verse 8. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. He delighted in the redemption of those that He had everlastingly loved. He delighted in their salvation. Oh, for grace that I might run with patience to the city of refuge, to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of that which He bore, I read the account of it. I read of the mock trial. I read of the whipping that He took. I read of the crown of thorns that was placed on His head. They put a robe on Him, a purple robe on Him. They put a stick in His hand. They put a stick in His hand. Then they spit on Him. And then they walked up behind Him and slapped Him. And they said, "Prophesy! Who slapped you? Who slapped you? You say you're the Son of God." Pulled His beard out. Put a cross on His back. Walked up until they got Simon of Cyrene. Bear His cross up there, nailed Him to the cross. mocked him. When it says he endured the cross, I read a little bit about it, and everything that we know about the cross and the sufferings of the cross, I think fall very short, and it still does to me, very short of the sufferings that he bore. But the cross, the crucifixion, was the execution of the dregs of society. That was the most hideous, it was the most cruel execution that could take place. It nailed you to a cross and you hung until you suffocated. And if it wasn't fast enough, they'd break your legs so you couldn't hold yourself up until you suffocated. And when you went to the cross, it was because of the heinousness of your crimes, who you were. You were the lowest of the low. You were nothing. You were nothing. And when they executed him, according to God's good pleasure, he who humbled himself, he who bore the guilt of his people, he who bore what his people deserved, the lowest of the lowest, those that would treat God Almighty with disrespect, he was made sin and bore the heinousness of the cross. And he delighted. He delighted to do the will of God. He endured the cross. And the shame of that. I mean, if you were talking about, if you're one of your family or something, it was a criminal or something, and he was executed. How'd they execute him? Oh, they nailed him to a cross. They nailed him to a cross. Lois. And he despised the shame. But for the joy that was ever in his view, his people that had ever been given him in electing grace, those people that the Father gave to him as the bride, that was his bride. That was his precious bride. The bride that he loved. The chosen of his Father, the chosen of the Son, chosen of the Holy Ghost. Those that were given him from before the foundation of the world, that the Father gave him to redeem. Those that he looked upon, I've quoted so many times out of the book of Song of Solomon, when he looked at her and said, "You've ravished me with one of your eyes. You steal my heart. I love you. I love you. I love you." When she fell in Adam, when in her mind she was an enemy, in her mind an enemy against him. When he came into this world to live for and to die for those that Almighty God had ever given him, those that he knew, that he had always known, that always loved, always cherished. When he came into this world and was to redeem her, he would suffer the lowest execution that there was. The most heinous, the most painful, setting forth that which he bore. Her guilt. And the Scripture says that he despised the shame. He treated the shame and humiliation of the cross as not shameful to him. It was not humiliating to him. This is the Father's will. This is the joy of my heart, to redeem her, to pay her debt, and put away her guilt, put away her sin. Being found, Philippians 2:8, in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. How low? I don't know. I don't know how low. But he was made the low. He said of John the Baptist, none greater than John the Baptist, born a woman. But he said the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. He made himself, Eric, the least. The least. Despised the shame. Bore the humiliation of a cross. Let me ask you this. What would you bear? What would you bear for your wife? What would you bear for Sandy Neal? If you could, what would you bear? Carl? Whatever it took. Whatever you could bear. The dregs, the slop, whatever it took, you'd bear it for the one you loved. For the joy that was set before him, her redemption, her life, her eternal life, an eternal presence with him, to cleanse her, to wash her in his blood, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And then thirdly, looking to him and his reward. The Scripture says, and is set down, he's done. Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. From the most hideous and humiliating thing that man could dish out. This is the most grievous, the most humiliating death that we can execute. We're going to give you the dregs of our ability. And he despised it. He despised the shame. It was not shameful to him. And God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. He sat down. He rests from his work. And I'm telling you, a believer rests in him. A believer rests from his work of trying to justify himself before God. Christ did it. Christ did it. Christ bore his people's sin. Christ imputed his righteousness to his people. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied God for her and now ever liveth to make intercession for those that he's eternally loved. He eternally occupies the place of sovereign authority as the obedient Son. All power given unto him in heaven and earth. And being the obedient servant of God, he's the one that's going to judge all men. They're going to judge him according to himself. Either in him according to mercy or apart from Him in judgment. The Scripture says, the Father judgeth no man, hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Look to Him. Looking unto Him. Running the race set before us, we look unto Jesus, who is the captain and the completer. We do not look to our faith. We look to Him who dwells within our heart by faith. We look unto Him who is our shepherd, who guides us even now. We read these words, and these words, blessed by the Spirit of God to the hearts of God's people. Here's the voice of the shepherd, right here. My sheep, hear my voice. Listen to what He says. Look unto me. The author and finisher of your faith, you that know Him. Look unto me, who for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. I despise the shame. And I sit. And I'm coming back to get you. Oh, my friends, make much of the means of His grace. Study His Word. Hear His gospel preached. Ask and seek and knock in prayer. Beseeching Him to lead, guide, and direct your steps. Lord, may it be so. Guide me. In closing, let me remind you what Satan will ever be ready to remind us of. Your sins are too great for pardon. You waver too much. You don't confess your sins as you ought. You certainly don't have the faith that was spoken of in the 11th chapter here. You don't even truly believe all of God's promises as you should. And you know what I say? You're right. You're right. But I'm not looking to myself. This Scripture right here tells me, looking unto Jesus. I'm disappointed every time I look at me. I'm disappointed. The only thing that I can come out with is, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive me. Oh, but to look to Him. To look to Him. And to believe Him. To believe that His blood atones for me. That is, covers me. When I see the blood, His righteousness is my righteousness, imputed righteousness. I've never done a righteous thing in my life. His intercession is for me. My husband, my Savior, my life, my joy, my peace. By faith, looking unto Him, and by the grace of God, soon we'll see Him as He is. Look unto Him. The Father does. Look unto Him and live. Amen.